Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious, holy, heavenly Father, as we go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with me, to give me guidance, Father, to open my heart, my mind, so that I can receive the truth and a greater understanding of this, your word, to make me better equipped, Father, to reach out to those that are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to reach out with them with the truth of your word and help, Father, to lead them out of darkness and into light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study this evening, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be this evening in the 10th chapter of Romans. Now, so as we get started here, please take time with us to really listen and study this, your word. In verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." You see, they are warning. And this is Paul. He is warning them to desire the Lord God, and he's wanting them to have that zeal of God, but he knows that they don't have the knowledge Now, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We know that Christ is the end of the law. Israel mistook the purpose of the law. The law pointed to the righteousness that is attainable only by belief in Jesus Christ. Israel also mistook the scope of the law. The righteousness to which it only was universally available to all who responded to God's revelation of himself through the law. But by Paul's time, many had substituted works for faith rather than seeking redemption and God's mercy. They pinned their hopes on their own religious achievement. We know, as Paul goes on here, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. We are to live by this word of Almighty God. You see, those who were living by the law was to live by them, which meant they were to keep the law. They wasn't doing it. So much they were lacking them. Now, 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. 7. Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we speak. 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Paul skillfully reads together quotations from Deuteronomy 9:4 and chapter 30, verses 10 through 14, which speak of God's intention in grace and man's humble obedience to it. He then applies this truth to the gospel of Christ. Now, 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. One is not saved by his mouth confession, but rather the mouth testifies readily of the grace of God in Christ, which has been received by faith. And you know, you think about those things. Here in 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed? Well, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You see, he's not a respecter of persons. All of mankind can repent and go to him for salvation. 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see that one verse right there? Let us know what we need. We need the Lord Jesus. And we need to be able to call on him. When we don't know him, then how can we call on him? When we don't believe in him. And why is it we haven't believed in him? Is it because we've not heard about him? Well, why haven't we heard? Is it that we're staying out of church, away from church? Or is it that we are in one that is not really teaching the word of Almighty God? Whichever it is, we need to get straight in our heart and our mind and see to make the changes we need and can make in order that we can be partakers in the Word, hearing the Word, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, following Him to gain this salvation and a changed life in order to make heaven our home. 15. He goes on here and he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? In other words, those that are preaching the word of God, why are they doing it and how are they doing it? Are they doing it just for a job and the pay that it will pay them? Or are they doing it because God has called them and sent them? And that really, money doesn't have anything to do with it. God tells us he'll supply our needs, especially those that will preach his gospel. And he can do that in many, many different ways. Now, 15. We started 15, but how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, they are to be preaching nothing but this word of Almighty God. We're not to stand up and tell jokes and all of that. In fact, the Word tells us not to let joking be named once among you. Oh, he don't use the word joking. He uses the word jesting, which means the same thing. Now, because you see, the word of God is not funny. Put joy and all in our hearts but it's not funny. It is very serious, because the Word of God either means life or death for us. 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now this Word of God, the Word of Christ, the reference is to the oral communication of the Gospel. The word translated report in is translated here. And notice that it is not faith in what is heard, but faith that comes about by what is heard. This is that Paul meant in 1:16 when he said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Saving faith is not man's doing. His part is response to God's having done his part. Saving faith can come about only through the gospel. Salvation is God's work alone. This also shows that there is no other way to be saved but by the explicit gospel of Christ. Now, because we all have to go to Christ. He is the door. He's the gate. He is the way. We can't go around him, over him, or under him. We have to go through him. All right, now, 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Well, you see, we're holding it in our hand right now when we hold the Holy Bible. Now, 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. You see, and he turned Paul from the Jewish people to be the apostle to the Gentile nations, just as he said he was going to do. He done exactly that. Because you see, God does not lie. That's one thing God can't do. God can't lie. He keeps his promises. We do things a lot of times to block those promises. It's not God's fault, and it's not him not being willing to do it. We block it at times by what we are doing, what we are thinking, what we are saying. Now, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. He's talking here again about the Gentile people. 21. But to Israel, he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He had stretched forth his hand. You see, he's been right there waiting for you and I to make up our minds to follow him and to be doing the things we are supposed to be doing. Now we have come to the end of chapter 10. Chapter 11 is 36 verses long. I don't know whether we'll get all the way through it or not, because it's quite a bit here. But we're going to get started. Chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now you see, we left off there in 10 by him making the Jewish people, his own people, jealous by using the Gentile nations. We hear now in verse 11, he's asking the question, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. Paul goes on to tell, he says, I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. The two, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wrought ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, we're going to stop there right now to take a look so far at scripture up to this point. Has God cast away his people? The question is asked in such a way that we know Paul expected a negative answer. The question is answered by a direct denial. God forbid. This chapter is designated a design to show that God has not abrogated all of his promise to Israel. She is only temporarily laid aside. When God has finished with his largely Gentile work in the church, Israel will again be restored and cleared with the blessings of God. And notice that the church does not take over all the promises to Israel. They are two very different works of God. And that we know is true. Especially those that are studying the Word of God. Here in verse 3 he says, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. In other words, he's got 7,000 men that is still his. They have not picked up anything illegal or evil. They belong to God. 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of work. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You see, we can't work our way into heaven. And we can't work our way into salvation. We do the work because we have salvation. We belong to God. And that's why we do the work. Doing the work will not get us there. Now, 7. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. 8. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, and to this day. The election, here in these two verses, 7 and 8, the chosen ones, these are the believing Israelites like Paul, who have believed and are being saved today. And this were blinded, this is a judicial blindness failure. Israel is blinded. This fulfills Isaiah 29:10. Now, we go on here with 9 and 10. David said, let their tables be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. And let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their backs always. Paul quotes from David to show that David anticipated that such an experience would be Israel's. God is working according to his eternal plan. The hardening of Israel will reach its height in the middle of the tribulation. Scripture anticipates the condition of Israel as it is today. God is not surprised, neither should we be. If it were otherwise, we should be troubled. You see, we need to say and be just as God wants you and I to be. Now, here in 11 and 12, 11 I say, then have they stumbled, that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvations come unto the Gentiles, or to provoke them to jealousy. 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And you see, that 11th verse there, have they sown that they should fall? And this is to ask whether Israel has stumbled so badly that they have fallen completely out of God's program. Is there no future for Israel? Paul shows that Israel's apparent rejection is not permanent because of God's purpose for Israel. Rejection and promise of her restoration. God knows exactly what to do in order to get his people where he wants them and us today. Because whether we be Jew or Gentile today, we all have the same privilege and the same way to reach Almighty God. And it's no harder for us than it is them, or for them than us, because we all are to be one family. And that is the family of Almighty God, whether we be Jew or Gentile. Does not matter or make any difference at all. We're going to stop here. If God willing, we'll pick up here in the morning. and go on here in the Word of God, beginning here with this part of chapter 11. We'll be starting in the morning with verse 13. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray, Father, that they have peace. But even more than that, Father, I pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Father, this land of mine, which I live, the land that has been blessed by God. Now, Father, they turn their back and walk away from me, taking Jesus out of every place he was in, even wanting him out of our service. That they have even made it, Father, against the law, to end our prayers publicly with his name. But you'll find, Father, those that are your children, we will pray in Jesus' name. We will end our prayers with him. In his name. Because, Father, that's the word we teach, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what this land is in need of. And those that are filled with evil, that has brought this evil upon this land, that's sitting in offices of high places, Father, I pray for them to be removed and to be replaced, Father, with those that are walking in righteousness, that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, loves the church, your people, and this land, and will work with us to bring this land to the sons and put our government back, foundation of your word. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those that are in my heart. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Hale, for Amy, Tom, Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson. For my wife, Elizabeth, Father. For Deborah. And Darryl. For Sue. For Courtney and Shane. Father, and I pray. For Chris. And Sam. And their, and that family. Father, to not only all listen, but to find the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, so that they can make their endeavor to raise those kids, Father, in the ways of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then, Father, I pray for all of our families, for our children, our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren, Father, and each and every member of our family. May the Holy Spirit work with our families, because we all have family members, Father, that are walking in darkness. And may the Holy Spirit be able to lead them to see that they need more than themselves, they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring them from darkness to light, that light being Jesus. My Father, be with us as we separate for the evening and the night. Keep us in health through this night, and keep us safe. And bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. back into your word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a good night.